gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It is the wake-up call of free speech, because it's early in the morning. It's still early. And we just got done recording part one of the Patrick and Jeremy show. You've already heard that, because you look forward to it every week. And now we're recording part two. It's early Tuesday morning, and we're recording this. And we spent the last show talking about, big surprise, what's going on in Gaza, what's going on with the two main avenues that we used to approach the issue. One was an article about the possibility of Germany accepting refugees from Gaza, and the other was a Yemeni's helicopter, looks like perhaps it's hijacking an Israeli ship. Was it an Israeli ship with a Japanese flag? At any rate, for more on that, you can go to last night's Patrick and Jeremy show on the In Plain Sight. And before we go on, I'm just going to do my show and go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send a badly needed fundage, send it to 2251 Devil Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719. Okay, Jeremy, welcome to the show.
All right, thanks for having me on, Patrick. It's a great morning to do some political analysis.
Well, that's what we're going to do. So those were two stories from the prep. We can continue to use the prep that you prepare as a vehicle for more spot-on political analysis. So what's next?
Oh, House Speaker Mike Johnson meets with Trump, giving him an endorsement for 24. This is NBC News. Shouldn't be surprising, because think back 3 years ago, Johnson was calling out the election hoax. I think he was questioning some things going on in Texas. Anyway, he met with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. He's all in for President Trump. Trump's leading in the polls. Wholehearted endorsement, not just a regular endorsement, but a wholehearted one. I'm sure they definitely see eye to eye on Israel. And like I said, Johnson in 2020 led an amicus brief signed by 100 Republicans in support of a Texas lawsuit seeking to invalidate election results in four battleground states. I remember that. So, I mean, apart from this Israel thing, Johnson's not too bad of a guy. What do you think? Well, did you get a chance to go with that?
Not in any detail, because it's just too early in the morning for that. But I understand that Johnson has released, or at least it seems as if he's releasing, 14,000 hours worth of footage from January 6th. So
yeah, I heard that too. Just what little footage is leaked out is damning enough. So I wonder what sort of backlash that's going to cause, especially for 24.
Yeah. Now, so you look at, and I had a pollster just yesterday call me up. I do get polled. I don't know why. How many people across America are getting polled? Maybe because I'm a super voter. I'm somebody who votes a lot. And so I get these calls. But it was all about the 2024 election, which is, believe it or not, it's about to happen. The primaries are about to start in just a couple of months. So we're already late November. 10 weeks from now. When is the Iowa caucus? I think it's the first Monday in February? So we've got about 10 weeks to go. It's right around the corner. And you know, you've already had three Republican debates, and the more they debate, the less relevant it becomes. I mean, these people are jokes. And you know, I was being polled, and if there is a matchup between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, who would you vote for? Trump, right? And whether there's a matchup between Joe Biden and DeSantis, who you vote for? And DeSantis, God, I mean, DeSantis, really? Oh, God. Well, I guess I'd vote for DeSantis. They asked between Nikki Haley and Joe Biden, who would you vote for? And I said, I'd jump off a cliff. I would jump off a cliff. And I remember when I was last week, when I was looking at what's it called, Real Clear Politics, and the polling section there, and they showed the Nikki Haley Joe Biden matchup, and I was thinking, well, how could that happen? How could you have an election between a general election between Nikki Haley and Joe Biden when they're from the same party? And I was just looking at that and looking at that. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh, wait a minute, Nikki Haley's not, she's not a Democrat, she's a Republican. Oh my gosh. And that's who the establishment Republican likes. Talk about the Uniparty. And I wasn't drunk or sleep deprived when I was looking at that. It's just like, wow, they're the same people practically. But none of these people, none of Trump's rivals are taking off, for better or for worse. You hear about Gavin Newsom as a possible replacement for Biden. And of course, Jim Fetzer he's guaranteed, he's given his personal guarantee that Joe Biden won't be on the ballot. And well, I had given my personal guarantee back when Stormfront was a thing, that Joe Biden would not even be the president, that by November of a year ago, Joe Manchin would be the president of the United States. That didn't actually happen. It could have. But the pollster who called last night mentioned one other possibility, probably somebody that you've never heard of before, was asking about Josh Shapiro. Josh Shapiro, who is Jewish, by the way, and he's the governor of Pennsylvania for the past year. And so I guess that's somebody whose name is being floated around as a par somebody who could parachute in and be the Democratic nominee, or potentially Gavin Newsom's Josh friend, who could be the running mate, maybe a replacement for chlamydia. Who knows? I'm just throwing that stuff out there.
When you take in consideration this AP article, and this is a little dated, it's from, end of October, but President Xi has met with Gavin Newsom, and they even cleaned up areas of California for his visit. They told the homeless, "Hey, you're going to have to, not use the bathroom on the sidewalk for a little while we entertain this major nuclear world power that's taken over the globe financially." Or that dominates it financially. Why Gavin Newsom? Isn't that interesting? So there's a few things here. Number one, I think it shows the importance of Newsom himself in the eyes of this foreign dignity. But this is sort of something that you and I have talked about. I don't want to say I predicted it, because I get my information from a lot of different sources. And without these sources, I wouldn't be able to, do these shows. I mean, I rely heavily as a working stiff on other people's excellent work. And I try to put it together and form my own opinion. But, back in COVID, and even as the Ukraine war was about middle ways on, we were talking about a collapse of the U.S., the federal government, and some more state sovereignty. And I think I said something like, "Hey, it wouldn't surprise me as the federal government of the U.S. became more irrelevant on the world stage and in the eyes of its own people. It wouldn't surprise me if world leaders began to meet with governors and, different companies that do business in the states for trading purposes and for diplomatic purposes." And here we have this. I don't know. I was really anxious to get your take on this whole Xi and Chen's Newsom meeting.
Well, there's something that you can read into it. Now, as Cato has long pointed out, despite the fact that you've got Fox News, people like Hannity, who will refer to Joe Biden as Beijing Joe, Beijing Joe is as much of a puppet of China as Trump was a puppet of Putin. I wish Trump was a puppet of Putin. That would have made America, if not great again, it would have made at least America that it might have not achieved MAGA, but it would have achieved MANSA, Make America Not Suck Anymore. Right? I think that's MANSA. I mean, my real agenda is Maniba. You know what Maniba stands for?
No, what is Maniba?
Maniba
What
stands
is
for
Maniba?
Make America Not Israel's Bitch Anymore. That's my agenda.
I
There's
remember
nobody
that
out
one.
there checking. But
I did want to clarify what I said. Newsom was touring China. Newsom met with Xi in Beijing.
Yeah, and then a couple weeks later, Xi came to San Francisco.
Right, and that's what they cleaned up San Francisco for his visit, which I thought was nice of him to do that.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they'd maybe clean up San Francisco for the Americans, but anyway, Biden is like his China policy is the most aggressive that the People's Republic has ever had to face. This is the most aggressive anti-Chinese policy that we've ever had. Trump was somewhat bombastic, and he embarked on a trade war with China. But at the end of the day, he would still refer to Xi Jinping as a friend. And he would say, yeah, the Chinese are raping us, but you can't blame them because we asked for it. You know, so the rhetoric's kind of harsh. But at the end of the day, it wasn't aggressive. It really wasn't aggressive. It was harsh, but not aggressive. But still, it was harsh. And if you're the Chinese, and you're thinking, well, we certainly don't want Biden again, whether they would want to deal with Trump or not, but they certainly don't want Biden again. And so for Xi to have meetings with Gavin Awsom, maybe, you know, they're part of that is trying to give him a boost. But, you know, when he came to San Francisco, he did meet with Biden. They met. And Biden he's just so shot. He's so shot that he got entrapped by some reporter into calling Xi Jinping a dictator. Like half an hour after.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, the federal government has to look completely ridiculous to these foreign leaders. I mean, you know, even Blinken was making like all these weird faces when Brandon was doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just wincing and visibly, and it's on camera. That's funny. If you haven't seen it, just watch him. It won't be hard to find.
Whereas with Newsom, here's Newsom's language. I'm here in expectation, as you suggest, of turning the page, of renewing our friendship and reengaging on foundational and fundamental issues that will determine our collective faith in the future. That was Newsom's remarks just before he met with Wang Yi, China's top diplomat. And they probably listened to Wang Chong.
They should.
Everybody fun tonight.
Right. I'm going to Wang Chung tonight. I got to admit, I'm going to Wang Chung tonight. Hey, and as for Thursday, Cato and I are going to have a Thanksgiving extravaganza. Look forward to it.
it's pre-recorded gonna be, Thanksgiving for the.
It's in the box. It is in the box. Or in the can. I guess it's in the can. It's not in the closet. And it's not out of the closet either. It's neither. Yeah. There's nowhere near a closet.
It's in the can. It's like a can of delicious yams or being waited to be opened up for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah. But just getting back to Trump, if Trump doesn't make a complete ass of himself over this Gaza stuff, and honestly, I don't even know what he's talking about. I do know that this Speaker Johnson, that he hosted a large demonstration, or he appeared at a large demonstration of people who had been literally paid by the Jews. I guess it was mostly Jews who were paid by the Jews to go to Washington. They went on, what was it, $250 each they got to go to Washington and join this demonstration. And Johnson was saying, what anybody who is calling for a ceasefire should be ashamed. I mean, to stop killing babies, we can't allow anybody to interfere with Israel's right to kill babies. It's such a bad look. I don't know. Honestly, I haven't even been listening to Trump. I think on October 8th or 9th, like within a day or two when this started, I did call on, what's her name, Letitia James, the simian, Black Lives Matter kind of simian-looking Attorney General of New York. I called on her to lock up Trump before he made too many before he made too much of an ass of himself, because he's likely to. But I haven't even paid attention. I don't know even really what he's saying about this stuff. The less said, the better, because he, like other boomers and people in politics, are going to be saying retarded things. So the less he says, the better. I don't know. Although with Elon and Tucker and Candace Owens starting to talk around the edges of Jewish power, and with Trump having been on the losing end of a struggle with Jewish power, these Jews pushed him out of the presidency. These Jews rigged the election. Benjamin Netanyahu himself was the first foreign leader to congratulate Joe Biden on his fake election. And Trump's not retarded. He often makes horrible decisions and horrible judgments. He doesn't have the best sense of judgment, but I don't know. He's still kind of a wild card in this. I would still prefer Letitia James to lock him up for a while. But, you know, his path to returning to the White House, well, there's nobody standing in his way at this point of the nomination for president. And could a ticket of, a Democratic ticket led by Gavin Handsome, and then with his best Jewish friend forever, Josh Shapiro, perhaps, how would Trump do against that? Could the election be faked for him? Maybe. We'll see. Anyway, I'm going to stop rambling and kick it back to you.
Well, at least with Newsom in, you'll have somebody coherent that is at least willing to deal with these foreign powers, not on what his stance on Russia is. But with Russia and China being pretty much allies, if he's willing to be friendly towards China, I'm sure he will be towards Russia, especially when they establish Belt and Road and dominate Eurasia. There's going to be no choice but to be friendly with them. So I think it's a win-win whether we get Newsom or Trump. You know, of course, I would rather see Trump than Newsom. But I think that's what it's going to break down to be. They're not going to be able to stop Trump's candidacy. He'll get the nomination. If he doesn't, you're going to see quite a bit of chaos on the right and the left. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to – so you have the primary elections coming up. So you've got Republican primaries that people are looking at, the Republican presidential primary, and that's coming up shortly. The Democratic Party, there is a machinery – for primary elections, and at this point, in the earliest states, the only name on the ballot is going to be Joe Biden. But you can always write in. You got those primaries, and then there's going to be Democratic primaries, and the Democratic primaries are going to happen. Biden may be the only name on some of the ballots, but there are write-in ballots, and people could write in a candidate, but then also there's some guy, I think he's a third term congressman from Minnesota, third or fourth term. He's not well known. I can't remember his name, but he's getting himself on some of the primary ballots. He's a member of Congress. You can have, if things fall apart fast enough, you could see names like, Gavin Winsome, Handsome, Awesome, get his name on ballots, or Josh Shapiro, get his name on ballots. These things, it could happen. And even if it doesn't happen, there's always undecided, right? People can vote undecided. And often the undecided is going to be controlled by the establishment. So,
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
These things, it could happen. And even if it doesn't happen, there's always undecided, right? People can vote undecided. And often the undecided is going to be controlled by the establishment. And so undecided could wind up being the big rival to Joe Biden. You might wind up seeing undecided win. And I haven't heard anybody else say this, but you could see undecided win a whole bunch of primary elections. The other thing, there are going to be primary elections for members of Congress, and you've got the AIPAC and the Jewish lobby, and they are primarying the squad members, and that's going to be really interesting. And personally, I don't care if Ilhan Omar or any of these other people, I don't care how anti-white they are. Anybody who is being primaried by AIPAC and the Jewish lobby, I 100% support them, 100%, at least for their re-election to Congress. I don't want AIPAC to have any success at all in primarying these people, even if they're you know, AOC, who's a ditzy brand, is she being primaried? I'll have to look it up. But most of these people are being primaried. And so that's going to be interesting. That's going to be a real test of Jewish power. So I'm kicking it back to you now.
Yeah, now here's something else to consider as I was thinking of this as you were talking. this whole backlash against Israel's murder of babies, I mean, it's primarily affecting young people like under 35, and especially in the social justice warrior type people, your BLM people, pro LGBTQ, they're really pushing back. What's that going to do, I wonder, you know, to the Democratic vote? How is that going to affect it when you've got literally all candidates vowing support for Israel killing babies? Now, on the right, primarily Trump supporters are Christian Zionist or Christian Zionist adjacent or sympathetic. So you really got a lot. Most of Trump supporters are pro-Israel. Probably your really young, Zoomer right-wingers, they understand more what's going on. The ones that listen to Nick Fuentes and that have seen the protests of the National Justice Party, these younger guys on the right, they know what's up. But the majority of Trump supporters, it's really not going to affect them. They're pro-Israel. I see it all over social media. But on the Democrat side, I think it's going to have a significant effect on primaries and general election. What do you think about that, the whole Israeli conflict affecting the younger members of the left and the way they vote? If you have a thought on that. It looks like you're on mute.
Oh yeah, I was on mute. What do you expect? Ah. So the younger people are, you look at these college campuses, they are experienced. Not only are they outraged because they've been taught to oppose white supremacy. When white supremacy does racism at brown and black people, they're taught to be outraged. And now they're seeing these Jews in Israel do white supremacy at the brown Gazans. And so they're outraged because they've been taught by the Jews to do that. And now the Jews are thoroughly attacking them. And, you know, you've got the Doxmobile. Some guy must have spent, like, I would think, excuse me, be hundreds of thousands of dollars to get a truck. It's got a giant television screen on its sides. Is it a television screen that they've got? I think it is. Maybe it's just giant posters plastered. But they're going driving around Boston with the names and faces of people who have protested against Israel, like Harvard students who have protested against Israel. It's like, okay, well, your parents spent $300,000 on an education. Guess who's not getting a job, Goy? He's never getting a job. You'll never be able to pay back your student loans. You know, it's really sick stuff. It's sick. And they're so the young people are seeing that as well. And so how are these young people going to, how are they going to act in the context of a primary election? So there's a whole lot of chaos coming down the pike for the young people. For the Democrats, but the young people, yeah. If you look at polling data, the big divide on attitudes towards what's going on in Gaza, the big divide is not between left and right. It's not even that much between, say, black and white or something like that, white and non-white. Although it's probably some there, but it's mainly between generations, with the boomers, and the boomers are mostly white. The boomers supporting Israel and the zoomers opposing Israel. The zoomers, who honestly are majority, they are, if you're talking, depending on what age group you're talking about, they're about half to potentially majority non-white. But that's the big divide, is generational.
Yeah, indeed. And then even what are the parents of these students going to think about after having spent all their hard-earned money?
The autumn winds and the winter winds, they have come and gone. And still the days, those lonely days, they go on and on.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Child gets doxxed, and that's all, you know, affects the rest of their life, basically. So you've got you got all kinds of ripples. I mean, the Democrats are literally just going to have to say, look, you got to support our guy because of Trump. This is all going to be about standing against Trump. I think they'll default to that.
It could be. Yeah, it could be. In the general election, but the primary election, which is about to start, is also going to be interesting. By the way, so RFK Jr., who had been running as a Democrat, he's no longer running as a Democrat, so he's going to run as a independent. I don't know if he's going to be nominated by one of the major third parties like the Greens or the Libertarians. I don't know if that's going to happen. But he's come out hard shilling for Israel, which is obviously a big disappointment to the people who thought he was interesting. There is an opportunity here. There's an opportunity, which just occurred to me mid-sentence. There's an opportunity for someone, perhaps even someone who's one of the squad members who is being primaried who may very well lose their seat in the House of Representatives. If they're losing their seat in the House of Representatives anyway, why not run for president? Why not give these young voters something to vote for? Why not embarrass Joe Biden? If you're Ilhan Omar or AOC, or AOC might be, I don't know how safe she is, but one of these people who's being primaried by AIPAC, why not run in the Democratic primaries? It's not too late to get your name on most of the ballots, and just to embarrass him in states, this is something that could happen. And you heard it here first.
Yeah. In the words of Bonnie Raitt, let's give them something to talk about. That scenario, one of the squad members runs. Of course, they're not going to win. I mean, the Democrats have already demonstrated that they can just give the nomination to whoever, regardless of support. That would be very telling. It would be very embarrassing for this anti-Israel candidate on the left, mind you, to get all of this tremendous amount of support from the young people. It would sort of be like what Bernie did in 2015 and 2016. You know, he had this tremendous following of the youth. Like, young people that I never thought would even talk about politics were total Bernies. I mean, total in for Bernie. And then you had your Bernie bros, right, that crossed over to us. So he could have that whole thing playing out. It's interesting to talk about it as a possibility. But anything that's chaos for the system, I'm for.
Oh, and this is chaos big time for the system. And, you know, and until now, so I guess we're about 6 weeks in from October 7th. It's been about 6 weeks. And, you know, I've been making the case against Hamas, right? And I've been not talking about, you know, whether they had the right to do this. I haven't been getting too much into the weeds about that. I've been trying to put the events in the context of the past 5,500 years, put it into context, not because time did not start. This conflict did not start on October 7th. It didn't come out of a vacuum. But, you know, more and more, I'm just looking at this, and I do think that the leadership of Hamas, I know, like, Ismail Haniyeh is at least nominally the leader, and I was very aware of him back in the 2004, 2005, 2006, and that time. And I was talking about him in my classes when I was teaching. And I think he's a very serious person and a very intelligent person. I don't know exactly how the Hamas leadership is structured. I don't think it's necessarily dictatorial, Ismail Haniyeh down, the way Hezbollah seems to be. What's the guy's name? Nasrallah, whatever his name is. I mean, I think it tends to be much more top down in Hezbollah, and I think Hamas is probably more of a collective leadership. But whatever, I think the Hamas leadership made this decision on their own. I don't think they even consulted with Iran. The Iranians say they didn't consult with them, and I think that had they been making this in conjunction with Iran or any other party, I think the other party would have told him not to. I don't think that the Iranians necessarily wanted to have this kind of crisis. I don't think other countries wanted to have this kind of crisis. And I think that the Hamas leadership said, look, we've got to provoke a crisis. If we provoke a crisis that the leaders of these other Muslim and Arab countries that they don't want, but they're going to be forced to support us because the populations support us. The populations of Iran and Turkey and Egypt, they support Hamas. The leaders of these big countries, they're content to continue kicking the can down the road, but the can's been kicked down the road for decades and decades. And these people in Gaza in particular, but the Palestinians in general don't want to just be slowly displaced, slowly dispossessed, slowly genocided. And the Hamas, this decision by Hamas to conduct this raid, and it's a military raid. It was a military raid. Were there civilian casualties? Yeah. But guess what? When the United States does this, when there are civilian casualties in a United States military raid, it's called collateral damage, right? That's what they call it, collateral damage. And the object of the military operation by Hamas, the object really wasn't terrorism. The object was to attack Israeli military installations and to capture Israelis as hostages. And if by some definitions of terrorism that meets a definition, whatever, I'm not getting into those weeds, but this was a military operation. And the civilian casualties, as Jim Fetzer is pointing out, and he's probably right, that a big hunk of the civilian, the non-military casualties on the Israeli side, a big hunk of them were killed by the Israelis themselves, friendly fire, that type of thing. But I don't choose to get into the weeds on that, but I am saying that this was a military operation, and that the justification for this, if ever there was a justification for some sort of self-defense, Hamas as the authority in Gaza, they have a better case for this than practically anything you can imagine. And not only that, like I said in yesterday's show, their main weapon isn't hang gliders, and it's not rockets. It's their willingness to sacrifice. It's their martyrdom. This is their big weapon, is martyrdom. And the martyrdom weapon of Hamas, I think, is, at the end of the day, it's more powerful than the nuclear weapons of Israel. This is reshaping the world. And it's not, at the end of the day, it's not just reshaping the Middle East. It's reshaping the entire world. Look at the impact it's having in the United States. The Hamas is doing more for displacing Jewish power in the United States than the alt-right has been able to do. I've been trying to do this for years and years, to try to get Elon Musk or other people to talk about Jewish power. Well, and look at it. So we were not successful in getting a huge discussion of Jewish power. Kanye West wasn't successful. And Vladimir Putin, who is literally fighting a war against Jews, we're trying to overthrow him, he's not even discussing Jewish power. The discussion of Jewish power is only starting now, and it's because of Hamas. It's because of Ismail Haniyeh and the leadership of Hamas and their willingness to sacrifice. And of course, they're sacrificing for themselves. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to save themselves with their martyrdom, but their martyrdom is potentially going to save us as well, at least to an extent. They've done more, I think, really to advance our cause than we've been able to do ourselves. And so think about that on Thanksgiving. I don't know. Am I going too far over the top, Jeremy?
Well, you've sparked a lot of interesting comments and questions here. So, you know, there's basically two ways that I've seen people analyze this. One is that Israel planned it as a false flag because they figured that they would get international support for sweeping through Gaza and just pushing the people off the land or taking them out in the name of fighting Hamas, right? So there's one way to look at it. There's some decent evidence on that side. In your scenario, Hamas has planned it. They legit took Israel by surprise, and Hamas did so in order to draw Israel into a trap, if you will, not only militarily, but in regards to optics, I guess, if you would. That's kind of the scenario that you've painted, correct?
Yeah.
Right. And so either way, there's a strategy going on here. I guess my issue with your scenario is, did Hamas consider the tremendous amount of civilian casualties? I mean, surely they knew that Israel would be ruthless and relentless.
Yeah.
And if that was part of their calculation.
Yes. I think that was part of the calculation.
So then that means Hamas is willing to just risk, you know, women and children and non-combatants as part of their strategy. That's pretty ruthless.
This is what I'm saying, and that they are willing to accept martyrdom. And of course, you know, they are a religious movement. These are religious people, and they have religious ideas about martyrdom. But I think absolutely they knew that if they provoked a crisis in this manner, that they were going to absorb. I don't think they're in the least bit surprised about what's going on, that they knew they were going to absorb a fair amount of martyrdom. The only way that they wouldn't would have been if the Iranians and the Turks and the others rushed to their immediate military aid. I doubt they were expecting that. I think this is probably playing out more or less the way they've expected. And, you know, they're willing to make this sacrifice. That's why I keep going back to sacrifice and martyrdom. And you could say, well, that's very ruthless. But at the same time, these are people. And, you know, most of what do you have? So we've had a blockade of Gaza since 2006, right? So that's 17 years. And 40% of the people in Gaza are probably 17 and under. And so they've had a blockade. They've been in this open air prison for their entire lives. A lot of these young people who actually carried out the raid, most of them have never left Gaza. They've been there their entire lives. And they've never had a job because there's no work and there's nothing to do. There's desperation. And you're just in an open air prison in desperate conditions, waiting to die. So, it when you put it in that context for a religious organization like Hamas to say, well, we personally are going to be martyrs and we are going to accept martyrdom of the people that we effectively rule over. We're going to accept that rather than just waiting to die. And I think that's a calculation. And that's the judgment that was made.
In that scenario, there's room to argue then for your pro-Israel crowd that Hamas is like got they're stashing weapons in these hospitals as part of a way to get Israel to target them to generate international outcry. I'm not saying that I believe that. I'm telling you that that's what the pro-Israel side is saying, and that kind of fits into this scenario. And again, I'm not arguing with you on any of this. I'm just discussing different points. I'm really not sure what to make of it. I tend to be in the middle. I think that Hamas was a group created by Israel that went out of control, went rogue. Netanyahu and the IDF figured out that they were going to do an attack, and they sort of let it happen, hoping that I think Israel's calculation was, yeah, we'll let them attack us. We'll take a little bit of a blow, and then we'll be totally justified, and our big brother, the U.S., will back us up on this. And then it kind of went all out of control for Israel from there. That's where I'm kind of in the middle, but I'm open to whatever, interpretation someone has of it. But no, what do you think about the people accusing Hamas of basically stashing weapons and supplies in hospitals so that they would be targeted?
Oh, well, the hospitals are going to get bombed anyway. The Israelis have no idea. They have no idea where weapons are. There are tunnel systems, and they don't necessarily know where all the tunnels are. This is an urban area where everything in Gaza. You've got apartment blocks, residential housing, you've got hospitals, and so they have no idea where weapons are, and they don't care, and they're going to bomb everything. Hamas wouldn't stash weapons in hospitals in order to lure the bombing of hospitals, because the hospitals are going to get bombed anyway. There's no point. I mean, so that's as far as I'm concerned. That's it's really pretty irrelevant. And having weapons stashed at hospitals doesn't justify the bombing of the hospitals anyway. I mean, weapons stashed at hospitals are weapons that aren't being used, right? So I don't know. It doesn't justify anything. But where was I going to go with this? I don't know. I forgot what I was going to say. But whatever.
You were talking about the overall strategy of Hamas to basically just pick a fight and get it over with. I guess to end the suffering. I think that's where you're going.
Well, the status quo is completely unbearable for them. The status quo is unbearable. And there just comes a time where you throw caution to the wind and leave it to fate. Leave it to Allah, right? Just leave it to Allah. And so they've provoked a crisis. And they're, I guess, Are they letting the, I mean, I don't know what's exactly what's in their mind, but are they just letting the chips fall where they may? Because it was so unacceptable. It's just so unacceptable. If you were being imprisoned or tortured or whatever, abused by a seemingly more powerful enemy, at some point, even though the enemy is seemingly more powerful, at some point you just say, okay, maybe I'm going to die, but I'm just going to fight. And that's what's happened. You're just fighting and you know, maybe.
All the leaves are brown, leaves are brown, and the sky is gray.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is five times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
The enemy is seemingly more powerful. At some point, you just say, okay, maybe I'm going to die, but I'm just going to fight. And that's what's happened. They're just fighting, and you know, maybe... I don't know how this could turn into World War III, and this is why any other outside group. Oh, I know what one point I wanted to make is I think people go too far in saying that Israel created Hamas. Israel didn't create Hamas, but Hamas, like I say, is an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood's been around for many decades, and Gaza was it's like an Egyptian based organization. and Gaza was administered by Egypt until 1967. But when Hamas was founded, it was viewed by Israel as a potential rival to the Bete Noire, Yasser Arafat and his Palestinian Liberation Organization. And so for the purpose of divide and conquer, they cleared the way for Hamas, or to an extent enabled Hamas. But it's very much an overstatement to say that they created Hamas. They didn't create Hamas. They did want to have a rivalry between Hamas and Arafat and the PLO, to have a divided opponent. But that's not to say they created Hamas. And then the thing that happens when people say that they created Hamas, then the idea is that they created it, and so they continue to control it, and it's just controlled opposition. And it's not to the extent that they had a role in controlling it or nurturing it in any way. Now they're reaping the law of unintended consequences, because Hamas, this is their nightmare. Now all of a sudden, everybody around the world is questioning. They're seeing Israel as being absolutely inhumane, and they're questioning Jewish power. This is the worst thing for Israel.
Yeah, well, I think we're definitely clear on the result of this, which is what you just mentioned. Also, that it has to end in some sort of international, come to the table, you know, where cooler heads prevail. It just can't keep going.
Hey, by the way, I think we're probably close to the end of the show. Are you keeping track of time?
We might have a few minutes left. We started pretty much close to 7, and it's 7:46.
Okay, and there was a little gap there. Okay. Well, anyway.
And of course, there's always, you know, adding in music. But what I want to say on it, I don't have a principled stance on any of the scenarios we discussed as far as to what extent Israel participates in Hamas or whether it was a false flag. I've thrown out what I kind of thought, but I'm not married to any of it. I will just say that, you know, as a Christian, this Israel is not legitimate. It's a secular state. I don't think they could even trace back to biblical Israel. And you may as well have a bunch of Khazarians go to Texas and rename Dallas Israel. That would be as legitimate to me as what this is. So at the end of the day, that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay. Well, I think it's time to wrap it up. I think it's time to wrap it up. So we're going to wrap it up. And I want to thank you for joining me and say I'm thankful that I give thanks that we're able to do this. Give thanks to RBN. And I do have some optimism. And I actually, even though we're on the brink of World War III, maybe it is better to provoke a crisis and get things sorted out and keep our fingers crossed rather than just slowly wither away to a inevitable fate, or a seemingly an otherwise inevitable fate. But I'll say that, and thank you for joining me, Jeremy.
Thanks for having me, Patrick. Stay classy, my friend.
Thank you. I will do my best, and I'll be back again tomorrow with a very special episode of National Bugle Radio.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.